You have a copy of God's Word, be turning to the third chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 3. The Bible says a disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone who is perfectly trained shall be like his teacher. Jesus said that in Luke 6 and verse 40, really in light of following teachers that'll lead you in the wrong direction, so you better be careful. But on the positive side, I think we would admit and agree that as disciples of Jesus, we have a very real challenge before us. To become as he is much as possible by the grace of God as we pursue that goal, which won't find its fulfillment until Jesus comes again and we're perfected fully and completely. So we have that challenge before us. There's other passages that seem to set forth the same idea. For instance, in John 13, verse 15, Jesus left an example of service. And he told his disciples, to paraphrase, serve one another as I have served you. In the very same chapter, in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he said, by your love for one another, all men will know that you're my disciples. So we're to become as he is, we're to serve as he served, we're to love as he loved. John 15, verse 10, he encouraged his disciples to, in essence, obey as he obeyed. And in so doing, they would abide in the Father's love. So we need to obey as he obeyed. Then there are other passages that say that we're to have his mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We are to follow in his steps, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. And in context, that has to do with suffering. When Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. 1 Peter 2:23. Then just in a broad way, 1 John 2 and verse 6 says that we're to walk as he walked. All of those passages set before us again the challenge of becoming like Jesus, following his example and seeking to the best of our ability to become as he is. Looking forward to that moment in time, off over the horizon, in the future, when our Lord will return and we'll receive a new body. And because we will indeed become as he is, we'll see him as he is. 1 John 3, verse 2. See all that to bring us to Matthew chapter 3. So in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through the end of the chapter, verse 17, we have the account of the baptism of Jesus by John the Immerser, John the Baptist. So let's read this section, and then we'll make some points, and then we'll all go eat spring rolls. How's that? He said, why don't we just go eat spring rolls? Verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. I like Luke's account in Luke 3. He came up and he prayed. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What I want us to do for just a few minutes is I want us to consider the baptism of Jesus and some things that relate to that and some things that Jesus understood, which I think are important to us. At the same time, if you've dealt with folks trying to teach them the gospel and how to obey, you've run into people who say something like this. The only reason we need to be baptized, really, is because Jesus was baptized, and we need to follow his example, something like that. Others say different things, like, you know, you need to be baptized so that you can join a local church and be recognized as a believer. There are a number of different reasons, but I have run into some people who have told me that the most important reason to be baptized is because Jesus was. And based on everything we just said, following his example, if he was baptized, I assume it would be right and proper for us if we can find New Testament legislation that would tell us that. Let's notice some things about Jesus' baptism as we look at the text. First of all, regarding his baptism, Jesus recognized the need for it. The need for it. Now, we'll go into this a little deeper in just a moment when we talk about purpose, but even John recognized the need to be baptized at this moment in history as it pertained to the plan of God. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, you know the book of Isaiah and the book of Malachi, the ministry of John the Baptist was foretold. John was to prepare the way as the Elijah come for Messiah, for Jesus. And he certainly carried out that particular mission very well. He was willing all the while to take second place to Jesus, wasn't he? Takes all the grace that I can tell to play the second fiddle well. John played it quite well. He must increase and I must decrease, he said in John chapter 3. And so John came preaching in the wilderness. In fact, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 4, the text says that John came preaching in the wilderness a baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins. So John was preaching this message of the coming Messiah. People from all over Judea were coming to him in the wilderness, being baptized in the Jordan, confessing their sins. What was happening? John was making ready the hearts of the people for Jesus to step on the stage of history. And when Jesus did, you remember in John 1 verse 29, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," John chapter 1 verse 29. John recognized the need to be baptized by Jesus because he knew that he was not worthy even to stoop down and unlace his sandal strap. Jesus understood the need. As far as God's plan was concerned, it was necessary for Jews, particularly those in Judea, to submit to John's baptism because it was part of the plan of God. There's a statement in Luke chapter 7 and verse 30 that I find interesting regarding the Pharisees and the lawyers. The Bible says they rejected the counsel of God against themselves not being baptized or having not been baptized by him. You see, Jesus knew that in order to be pleasing to his Father and obedient to his Father and to submit to his Father's will, it was absolutely necessary for him not to reject the counsel of God, but to accept it, to be baptized like every other Jew. He saw the need. In the second place, when we think about Jesus' baptism, Jesus was baptized for a reason, for a purpose, and he understood it. Again, if you look at 13 through 17, when it came to Jesus' baptism, it was for the purpose of fulfilling all righteousness. What does that mean? It means that Jesus, as Messiah, who came to fulfill the law, he believed and understood that it was necessary for him to keep all the commandments of God, including the commandment to be baptized by John in the way that he was. There's a statement in Psalm 119 and verse 172 where the psalmist says to Yahweh, he says, "All of your commandments are righteousness." Jesus wanted to obey every commandment of God as Messiah, as the obedient Son of God, and therefore it was important to carry out that purpose to fulfill all righteousness. And so he understood, first of all, the need, as John did. He understood the purpose. And there's something else that seems rather obvious, but we might want to mention it. Jesus was baptized in water. There's a couple of things we might mention about that. Jesus understanding what baptism was about and where it was supposed to take place. First, let's think about the word baptism itself. This is old hat for a lot of folks, but I'll bring it up again. To baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo. Sounds a lot like baptism, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like to baptize. And it does because in 1611, when the King James Version translators translated that particular word for the New Testament, being members of the Church of England, they understood that the Church of England did not practice immersion. as far as baptism was concerned, but rather sprinkling. Now, regarding sprinkling, there's another word in the original language, in the Greek, for that particular process. Regarding pouring, the same thing is true. But the word baptizo means to dip, to plunge, to immerse, to submerge. It never means to pour. It never means to sprinkle. So understand that when Jesus went down into the Jordan with John, he immersed him. He baptized him in water in the River Jordan. When he came up out of the water, in Luke's account, Luke chapter 3, he prayed. Jesus understood the mode of baptism. He understood the element of baptism. And I think that's very important. Regarding Jesus' baptism, something else we might make mention of. Jesus' baptism pleased His Heavenly Father. You look at what was stated when the heavens, when the voice boomed from heaven, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." We find a similar statement at the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is My beloved Son, hear Him." But in this case, "in whom I'm well pleased." I know we've brought this up before, but it's never stopped me from bringing something up a second time, or a third, or a fourth, or a fifth. All of us can probably say, and I think I'm safe to suggest this, all of us can say that in some things we please God. We might even be able to say in most things. But when it comes to Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus said, "I always do those things that please Him." Jesus pleased His Heavenly Father in everything that He did, and He understood that if He was to please Him fully and thoroughly to fulfill all righteousness, it would be necessary for Him to be baptized by John in the Jordan like every other Jew in that region. Because it was the counsel of God, which again the Pharisees rejected. Something else to note. Here's what you find. After Jesus' baptism, first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4, what do you see happening? What's the next major event? The temptation of Jesus by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days. He's fasting. He's at his weakest physically. The devil hurls his entire arsenal at him. An interesting study to do sometimes is the difference between the temptations that were hurled at Jesus and the temptation of Adam. Adam was in a garden paradise and he failed. Jesus was in a wilderness and he succeeded. Adam had every benefit. Jesus was at his weakest. Adam failed, but Jesus succeeded. And you can just go on as you look at those comparisons. In fact, let's spend about an hour and a half on that. Let's turn to... Okay, maybe not. Maybe we won't do that. In Mark's account, in the first chapter of Mark, the Bible says that Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. And He was with the wild beasts. And the devil again, temptation after temptation. Not just three, that's what's recorded, but temptation after temptation after temptation. And then when he successfully overcomes them all, angels come and attend to him. And then what's the very first thing we read in verse 12? What happens after the temptation? Maybe you even have a heading in your Bible there right above verse 12. Jesus begins His Galilean ministry. In other words, Jesus' baptism marked a beginning of something. And that beginning was His ministry. Now that He had been baptized, the Spirit had descended upon Him. He goes forth with great power, preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So Jesus understood the need, right? Jesus understood the purpose. Jesus understood the mode and the element. Jesus understood that it was necessary to do it to please His Father. And Jesus understood that it was the beginning of something. All of that's implied. Now let's think about us for a second. Is there a need for us, first of all, as baptized believers, to continue to preach and teach the necessity of baptism for salvation in our going about trying to teach people the truth. Absolutely. There is a need. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Again, we've mentioned it before, but in the grammar, the idea is disciples are made when? Simultaneous to baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does that mean? If you're not baptized, you're not a disciple. If you're not baptized, you're not a follower of Jesus. If you're not baptized, not a follower, not a disciple, that means you are not in the possession of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're outside of Christ. That's serious business. And so, as members of the body of Christ, the Church of the Lord, we have emphasized baptism. I have been made fun of for it by those who don't agree. I think I mentioned one time I was in a bookstore, I met a guy. We started talking. He said, "Tell me a little bit about yourself." I said, "I'm a rich millionaire. I have a yacht." And then I thought, maybe I better tell him the truth. So I said, "I am a preacher." He said, "Where do you preach?" And I told him. He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I love that hymn you guys love." So we love lots of hymns. What are you talking about? He said, "No, your favorite." I said, "What's our favorite?" He said, "There's power in the tub." I've used this corny joke before, but I thought he was going to say, 728B, right? I thought that was going to be the one that he said was our favorite. But he was saying we put all this emphasis on baptism. I found it interesting. He said, "You know, I agree with you." I said, "That's not odd. Why don't you throw in your hat with us if you agree with us?" But nonetheless, the need to preach and teach the truth about baptism remains today as much as it ever has. There is a need for it. There's a need for every person to submit to biblical baptism as the Bible teaches it for a number of reasons. Jesus understood the need. We need to preach that need. Jesus understood the purpose. For him, it was to fulfill all righteousness. Not so much for us, although we want to be obedient to God. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins. It had to do with forgiveness. But when Jesus was baptized by John, he didn't have any sins to forgive. His baptism didn't have anything to do with that. On the contrary, though, regarding us, regarding what we ought to preach about baptism, we preach what the Bible says about it. What is it? Remember when the gospel was preached for the first time? Those who heard that message said to Peter and the apostles, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for or unto," never because of, that word never looks backward, "for unto the remission of your sins." Why was I baptized into Christ? So that my sins might be forgiven. We'll see you later. Enjoy it. Oh, you got to go potty?
Go potty.
All right, we're going to take care of that. The older you get, I can really relate to that. But anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to that later on. I knew that was going to happen. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Nobody listens to me. But anyway, all right. Purpose for the remission of sins. Purpose to be saved, Mark 16:16. Purpose to clothe ourselves with Christ. Purpose to have a good answer, have a good conscience toward God, 1 Peter 3:21. That's the purpose. That's what we preach and teach. Do we understand the purpose? Here's something else to consider. The Bible teaches that God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In the parable of lost things in Luke chapter 15, we read of how the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. What about when people obey the truth, become Christians? Does that not please our Heavenly Father today? Yes, it does. One of the greatest things about baptism, we witness it, hear somebody make the good confession, is that we know that it pleases God. And it ushers them into arrangement where their sins are washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16. Purpose. Pleasure. And then we'll close with Romans chapter 6. What does baptism represent?
Go this way.
A new start.
Go fly.
Here's what we find, Romans chapter 6. Man, I have a fortitude of steel. Or do you not know, Paul wrote, that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, We were buried with baptism. We were buried with Christ through baptism into death. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism marked Jesus' ministry beginning, a new reality, a new day. When we're baptized, it marks newness of life. The slate is clean. We can start over. We can become everything God wants us to be. And so although the baptism that we submit to and preach to alien sinners is slightly different from Jesus's, there's still some similarities. But most importantly, we preach it because it's that final step into Christ and out of sin. Could be the case somebody tonight needs to step into Christ. And you do that, again, through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. If we can help you with that, won't you come as we stand?